Losing and winning many times is a choice. Many Christians give in and give up too easily. We become susceptible to the wiles and the vices of Satan. Why? Because when we are not well connected, we are disconnected. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 17, which is going to be my text, Exodus 17, I want the word and sound to make sure that this scripture is up there. Verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek, the enemy of Israel, emphasis mine, from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Thank you, Spirit of a Living God. Thank you because you are here already. Thank you, our man of war. Thank you because you fight and win for us. We have come today. Let there be life. Let there be power. Let there be deliverance. Let shackles be broken. Let burdens be lifted. Move in the might of your power, Spirit of a Living God, and make my mouth like the pen of a ready writer. Let me say only what you have said. Let this word not stop today. Let it continue into our destiny. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Why will God make such a statement about a people? It's one thing for somebody to threaten you and say, anywhere I see you, I will always fight you. Now, for God to say, from generation to generation, even generations yet unborn, I will fight you. Who is going to deliver such from the hand of that God? It was because of what Amalekites or the Amalek did. In Exodus chapter 17, and verse 8, the Bible said, that scripture never ceases to amaze me. Israel just suddenly, by God's grace, by the striking of the rock, now they have more than enough water to drink. Everything was okay and settled. The Bible then said, then Amalek came. It's more or less like saying, then Satan came. Then war came. Then evil came. Then misfortune came. Such will not come into your destiny. And if they have come, you will overcome them. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Those of you who have been on the Bible study line, you already have an idea of this scripture. But what I'm about to share this morning is totally different from what you learned on the Bible study line. Amalek came. I want you to pray this prayer first before I continue. And pray with all your might. Say, every conspiracy against my advancement, spiritually and physically. Scatter! In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Every conspiracy against my advancement, against the advancement of my family, my ministry, my calling, spiritually, physically, I say scatter in Jesus' name. Amen. Satan loves to come unannounced. I said a couple of weeks ago, be careful when you celebrate victory. You are at your most vulnerable point. Israel now had food, manna from heaven. Quails blown every day. Now they have more than enough water that was following them. The river flowed, the Bible says, to follow them. They felt there was no problem at all. Let's enjoy life. That's how some of us are. I'm good, I'm okay. And then we relax on our oars. In our relaxation, we forget God. We forget the one who can defend us. We forget the one who can protect us. Because of what we now have, we are disconnected spiritually. Marking time in church does not mean a connection with heaven. Then trouble comes. Just like the money of the rich man cannot save him in the day of adversity. Satan came without warning. No wonder Peter said to us in 1 Peter 5:8, he said, be sober at all times. Be vigilant. Even when you are rejoicing, be vigilant. When everything is going great, be sober. There are people in church who still celebrate with one bottle of alcohol or the other. At that time, you are no longer sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary is a perpetual adversary. The devil is roaring. He's a roaring lion. That's a roaring lion. He's walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Such were the Amalekites. Israel did not know that they were following them also as they were moving. They were watching them. Satan is watching, looking for the opportune moment to strike. Then they came suddenly. Who are the Amalekites? Descendants of Esau. A bitter and a vengeful people. You can read more about them. Genesis 36, 12. And 1 Chronicles 1:36. Like I said on the Bible study line, anytime we fight amongst ourselves, we open the door to the enemy outside. It's easy for the enemy to penetrate when there's trouble inside. That's why as a married couple, safeguard your home. Because if you guys bicker and fight all the time over innuendos, you are opening your home, your children, your finances, everything, you are opening them up to the devil's attack. I always wonder why couples cannot be best friends. Because Satan does not want you to enjoy all that God has for you when there is unity. Hallelujah. And anywhere and any time there is no unity and enthusiasm for the things of God. Oh, I wish I can preach on enthusiasm for the things of God. We become vulnerable. The things of God does not excite you. Let me tell you, if you are that kind of a person, you are in danger. You are in danger. Those are the first people Satan will pluck away. Amalek attacked Israel from behind. Who were those behind? Those who were lagging. Those who were unconcerned by the leading or the leadership of Moses and Aaron. Those who were the initiators of grumblings and murmurings. Those who are the fault finders, present but absent. You know, you can be in a place and yet you are not there. Right? Present but absent. Your spirit man is not there. You are somewhere else. Practice being where you are 100%. Then you benefit from that place 100%. You open your destiny and purpose to the attack of the devil. That was the plan of the Amalekites. Let's catch those who are lagging behind. In every group, there are always people who are not totally sold to the vision. They will question why. No matter how good the thing is, they will still question it. Why? Well, we want to learn from them today. We want to learn from the experience of Israel so that we apply it to our lives today. We want to learn concerning the battles of life. And God's judgment upon the Amalekites. Let me cut to the chase. So God promised to wage war against Amalek in all their generations because they attacked his own children. He said, I will contend with those who contend with you. I will become their enemy. The Bible says, touch not my anointed. Do my prophet no harm. When you become the apples of God's eye, anyone who poked their finger into that eye is poking into trouble. But you have to belong to God. For God to fight your battle. People who fight their own battles, God can't fight for them. You have to take it to God in the place of prayer. After we were done with some of the things we were doing in church yesterday, I was just cleaning my hands. And I was just meditating. I was the only one there. And I was talking aloud out that this is a serious matter. I was the only one there. And I was speaking aloud. This is a serious matter. This is a serious matter. What is a serious matter? Bible. Relationship with God. Hellfire, heaven, is a serious matter. That for Jesus to leave heaven, to come to earth, to show us the way, give us instructions, is a serious matter. It's not a matter to play with. From generation to generation, prophets, evangelists, preachers, teachers, apostles, they are sent to us because it's a serious matter. Israel was a serious matter to God. So when Amalek touched them, they never realized that they touched God. Anyone that touches you negatively has touched God. So God says, from their generation to generation, I will fight them. What is the implication of this? This means there are children yet unborn who were not there when what their parents did happen. They are going to suffer for it. That is part of the battles of life. Children are suffering the consequences of the actions of their great-great-great-grandparents. Children are suffering the consequences of the actions of their parents. What God placed upon Amalek was a generational curse. It was a generational curse that nobody can break. But God and Amalek. It means they will never settle and they will have war every time. Can you imagine that kind of a life? Having war all the time. Many countries in Africa are like that. War all the time. People are displaced. No development. And the world is moving forward. Some people are living underground today because of those kind of war. There's a generation who has never known peace at all. So this kind of battle, this kind of warfare becomes hereditary. The father dies, the children pick it up. Unknown to them. Grandparents die. This is an unwritten part of their will to their children. They take over the battle. It becomes genetically infused in them. Praise the Lord. Handed down, handed over from generation to generation. It's most depressing. Very depressing. Very draining. To be sucked into a warfare you did not initiate. To fight, to be fighting a battle you don't know anything about. Some people are struggling today and they don't even know why. They are doing everything right. They don't even know why. They are praying, but things are still not the way they ought to be. They don't know why. It might just be an inherited warfare. Especially you as a child. When you begin to see the traces of your father or your mother in your life, you know there is fire on the mountain. You begin to see the life your mother lived is not the kind of life you are living, especially when it was not a joyful one. Israel felt so relaxed. Does Satan care if you know how to pray? He doesn't care. Does Satan care whether you have money or you are poor? He doesn't care. Does Satan care whether you didn't eat last night? He doesn't care. He doesn't care about anything. He just comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his full agenda. Suddenly, all hell broke loose. Those who were in front did not even know what was happening in the back. Until suddenly there was pandemonium. I pray this morning that every initiator of destructions and battles in your life die today. I didn't hear a good amen. Those who initiate battles, destructions, confusion in your life, I say let them die today in the name of Jesus. When this kind of battles arises, not everybody will stay around you. Those whom you call your friends, suddenly you see them disappearing. One after the other. Oh, this is not what I signed for. And then they are gone. But when you have something in your hand, you ate it together. Now there's problem. Can you stay with me and battle with me? Can you pray with me? Can you fight alongside me? Some will say, I got your back. But you turn back, you will not see them there. They are gone. Because there's nothing in it for them. I hate those kind of friendships. Friendship that is just because of what you want to get. No, that's not friendship. Friendship is all about whether things go right or things go wrong. We rise together, we fall together. That's what friendship is all about. Support each other. Amen. Even family members. We don't know him. Is he from here? Oh, that is his surname. No, our own is different. Then they will call you black sheep. Amen. Oh, I need to analyze black sheep. Huh? That word. Those two words are very contradictory. But today is not that day. Some people's battle started when they were in the womb. And Satan just wants to kill that baby. But no devil in hell will be able to kill your child. In Jesus' name. I surround every womb, every pregnancy in the fire of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 to 4, let me quickly read. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And he still drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour a child as soon as it was born. Why do pregnant women always have nightmares? Attack in the sleep. You know why? Because you are carrying a proper child. Because you are carrying a child of destiny. Because you are carrying a child that will bring solution and change to this world. So Satan does not want that baby to come. But somebody says it's a lie. It's a lie. And some people, their battles follow them to the grave. They fight it and fight it and fight it and fight it. From the day they were born, they fight it until they die. From today, that battle stops in your life. I say such warfare stops in your life. We draw the blood of Jesus. We draw the barrier, the line, the fence, the defense of the blood of Jesus. Somebody say, it has come to me. It has stopped. Oh, you're not saying it well. It has come to, it has stopped. Say with me, say no evil will pass through me unto my children in the name of Jesus. No evil, no negativity will pass through me unto my children in the name of Jesus. No calamity will pass through me unto my children in Jesus' name. From here, it stops. It stops. That is why you need to take your Christian life serious. Christianity is not religion, it's a lifestyle. Take this lifestyle serious, as oil and water cannot mix. Christianity does not mix with any other thing. In the process of, oh, we are having fun, many are falling away. We forget, but the devil doesn't forget. I pray that Jehovah intervenes for you today. I pray that my God intervenes for you today. I pray that the King of Glory intervenes for you today. Can somebody pray? Say, every battle that started against me in my mother's womb, die. Open your mouth and pray. Every battle that started against me in my mother's womb, I said today, die. Die in the name of Jesus. I pronounce to somebody this morning, you shall not lose in the battle of life. I say, you shall not lose in the battle of life. As the Lord lives, as your soul lives, as the Word of God lives, as the Holy Spirit lives, you have victory over the battles of life. You have victory regardless of the battle you are fighting. The Lord arise on your behalf today and scatter every enemy of your destiny, and scatter every enemy in your family, every household wickedness, every witchcraft and wizardry in the name of Jesus. I pray that the fire of the Holy Ghost separate you from every evil and calamity. In Jesus' mighty name. You are about to enter into a season of divine visitation. I say you are about to enter into a season of divine visitation. You are about to enter into a season of the outstretched hand of the Almighty God upon your life and your destiny. Let the name of the Lord be glorified. Generational warfares. Now, the children of those who offended God, who attacked Israel, they don't know what happened. They don't know who to go and beg. They don't know who to take restitution to. Who do I beg? Who did my parents offend? I don't even know them. How do I restitute for this? It's just like what America did to the indigenous, the Indians in this land. If you notice, at a time, there was no president that was not shot. It was a curse. I think it was Bill Clinton that broke that curse. He accepted the wrong they did. People who continue in such battles, they need to find their way, especially to God. Can you imagine if the leaders of Amalek are taking themselves to the prophet of God and say, we are sorry for what we did? Huh? We are sorry. It was a mistake. Because we'll be lifted. Because God is a merciful God. And sometimes we fight and fight and fight, but we forget to repent. Victory in the battle of life starts with repentance. Peradventure, I have sinned. My parents have sinned. My generations have sinned. My children may have sinned. Lord, please have mercy. Nobody has any right with God. Because he's the one who gives you the right anyway. Innocent generations becoming a partaker. Look at the plight of the black people in America today. The black man has to suffer for everything. Even what he did and what he didn't do. The sin of the black man is just because he's black. Generational battles is a continuous battle. Actions that are affecting, actions of the past that are affecting present circumstances, present situations. May God have mercy. I say, may God have mercy. The yoke must be broken. And today you must be ready for it to be broken. In Jesus' name, it's a great tragedy to inherit one's parents' enemies. And it's a great blessing to inherit one parent's favor. Is there anyone still in the house of Jonathan that I may bless? It's a generational blessing. Where there is a curse, there is a blessing. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody in the house of Jonathan? For Jonathan's sake, in the same way, you go for an employment, you mention your name and your last name, and then history becomes begins. Your last name, which one is it? Is the one for, the one here and yes. Okay. We'll get in touch with you. And that's the last. Because the last name is connected to somebody who is an enemy of the family of the man sitting on the seat. Well, remember Pastor Taiwo's testimony. Huh? Olubenga. Because one Olubenga had been a very good driver, which was not related to him at all. Because that Olubenga did good. You are Olubenga. Because she believes that every Olubenga is one. He got a job. Was it not your mother that killed my twin sister? From the family. Get out of my office. May that not be your portion. In Jesus' name. Ezekiel 18 verse 1 to 4 says, the word of the Lord came to me. What do you people mean by quoting this proverb about the land of Israel? The fathers eat sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Should it not be the fathers who ate the sour grapes that their teeth should be set on edge? Why the children? Generational problem. But look at what God said. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel. For every living soul belongs to me. The father as well as the son, both alike belong to me. It is the soul who sins. Somebody say, from here, it stops. Oh, come on, say it like you believe it. It stops. You see, Nehemiah understood this so well. When they came to him and told him how the walls of Jerusalem were broken down and everybody was in distress, morale was low. Many weeks, 4 months to be precise, he went unto God in prayer and he began with repentance. Can you project for me Nehemiah chapter 1 from verse 5? And I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thy ear now be attentive to thy, and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and we have dealt very corruptly. You see the word he used there? So we included himself. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments. Why is he saying this for a world that is broken down? Huh? Nor your statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servants, Moses. Verse 8. Remember, I beseech thee, the word which thou commandest thy servant Moses, say, if ye transgress, I will scatter ye abroad among the nations, which was what they were suffering. Look at verse 9. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Come on, let's go. Go on. Now this are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. Let's go. Come on. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thy ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayers of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. If you begin from verse 1 and read the whole, you will see how Nehemiah kept on repenting and repenting and repenting. He understood generational curse. Go with me to Judges chapter 6, because I need to show you these scriptures. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Judges 6 from verse 25. Judges 6. 25 to 27. This is about Gideon. Gideon also had the understanding. He had to kill his father's bullock. Listen. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father had, and cut down the grove that is by it. Why did God tell him to do this? Israel was under the curse of the Midianites. When God came to Gideon, Gideon was hiding. They had nothing. They were going through a terrible period. And God was like, all the things that are not supposed to be, begin to pull them down. If you are going to prosper, bring this one down. If you are going to make it, bring that one down. Are there things in your life that you need to cut down or uproot from their very roots? Things that God will see and take his face away. Go and bring down that effigy of Baal and build an altar unto the Lord. Instead of that thing, build an altar unto the Lord. Thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. And take the second bullock and offer, go on, a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord has said, go on, unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, and he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. He did it. Whether in the day or in the night, he did it. Then liberation came for Israel. Israel that had no might now was able to overcome their enemy just with 300 men. 300 warriors. The curse was broken the day Gideon stood up and began to tear down everything God has not planted in his family. Until we'll do so, we'll keep on playing games. Until we do so. The day Gideon fought this battle and won, even the sound of his name brought terror to the camp of the enemy. Before, if they mentioned Gideon, they would say, "Who is Gideon?" Now the anointing came upon him. Is there anything in your life that is stopping God's anointing from resting on your head? That is stopping God's anointing from working through you? Those things need to be uprooted. See, the message I have this morning for you is to stir you up. And I want you to do a self-check. And peradventure you think, "Well, there's nothing in me." Still pray. How many of us have the bulletin? Only 4. Because you just don't want to raise up your hand. So I don't know if you have the bulletin. Ushers, do they have the bulletin? Do all these people have the bulletin? Why not? Open to the second page in your bulletin. There are prayer points there that I'm going to finish now. You are going to stand up and you are going to pray as many of those prayer points. It's your life. I know I'm not going to lose in the battle of life. It's a choice, I said at the beginning. It's a choice you make yourself. If you want to be lackadaisical about it, okay. It's just like Joshua said, that for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. For me and my household, we shall fight a good warfare. And we shall win this victory. Is somebody following me this morning? Is somebody ready to war this morning? You know how we began. The God answered by fire. Let him be my God. Let him be my God. Answered by fire. Let him be my God. The Lord answered by fire. Let him be my God. The Lord answered by fire. Let him be my God. Let him be my, the Lord that answered by fire. The Lord that answered by fire. Now listen. The day Elijah stood and slaughtered 400 prophets of Baal, he took something away from Israel that day. An Israel that had not experienced rain from above. Rain fell that day because the obstruction was taken out. Elijah brought all the people, he gathered them together, and there was a national repentance. So before we pray these prayers, because let me tell you.